I'd like to read from two places in the Word of God. First of all, I want to read just some verses from Psalm 90, please. Psalm 90, and if we can read from verse 8. Psalm 90, verse 8. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Then turning over, please, to the book of James. And if you could turn to the Epistle of James, chapter 4. I just want to read some verses there from verse 13 through to verse 17. James chapter 4 and verse 13. And I'm reading tonight from the New King James Version of the Bible. Verse 13 says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." Amen. There's a question in the passage that we read together tonight in James chapter 4. It's in verse 14. And the question is this: what is your life? We thought this morning from the book of Colossians about the Christian who is raised up in the Lord Jesus Christ to a new life and a new direction. And as we think about that question in James 4, I want you to imagine that if I were to ask you, all of you individually tonight, what is your life? I'm sure I would get a variety of answers. If I were to go out onto the streets of Lisburn tonight and ask people that I meet, what is your life? I'm sure I would get a variety of answers. And some people would say life is very enjoyable. Perhaps others would say it's stressful. Perhaps others would say it was difficult. But there is a description of what life is like in the Bible. And I don't think it's the answer that we would get from many people were we to ask them. Because the Bible says life is short. It is a vapor. It is something that passes very quickly. In the little psalm that we read together, the psalmist said, "Teach us, Lord, to number our days." And in James chapter 4, verse 13, James says, "Come now." And it's as if James is saying to these people, "I want you to listen. I want you to pay attention. You who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city." Life for man, I want to say three things tonight. Life, first of all, for people generally, is a planned thing. We like to plan our lives. And I'm sure you've spoken to people and they're maybe in their 40s or their 50s and already they're planning their retirement. I'm sure you've spoken to people over the past months and they've talked about the holidays that they plan to go on this year. And it seems to be a natural thing that we plan things ahead. But James says, "You who say." The plans, if you like, they're just things that we say. But our plans can change very quickly. And the plans that we make from day to day can be turned upside down. That is a great difference between ourselves and between God. Because God's plans are perfect. And his ways are perfect. And he has a plan for us tonight, if we're his children. Billy Colville's here tonight. I can remember whenever he came to our home and he read from Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans to prosper you. And if you're a child of God, tonight, then the Lord has plans for your life. And you see, the people in James's day, they were living in a particular era when it was an era of opportunity. And there are some people who are particularly good at various things. And the people that he is writing to are mainly from a Jewish background. And they are people that are willing to go and to trade and to buy and to sell. And they seem to have a particular ability to do that and to be able to live in such a way. And they had made all of these plans. And they're living in an era when new groups of people are coming together. New cities are being developed. And so they plan that they will go to this particular city or that particular city. And they're going to spend some time there. And I suppose the nearest equivalent that we have of that today is a place where there are a lot of people and they are gathered together and a company comes along who own a shop or a chain of stores and they decide that they'll place one of their stores in that particular town or in that city. They decide that they'll go there. That's the nearest thing that we have to that today. But their life was a planned thing. Now their life was a planned thing in many sides and in many aspects. If you look at verse 13, James says, "Go, you who say, today or tomorrow." They had plans for today, and they had plans for tomorrow. They had plans for now, and they had plans for later. And they had plans for their destination. They said, "We're going to go to a particular city." They knew exactly where they had in their mind that they wanted to go to, and they had planned that out. And they had not only planned their day today and tomorrow and planned their destination, but they had planned their time. They had a time span put in this, and they said, "We're going to spend a year there." And they had planned their activity. "We're going to buy and sell." And they had planned their purpose. "We are going to make a profit." It was all planned from their own thinking. But they didn't bring God into any of their plans. And so often our plans are changed due to a change in our health, due to a change in our circumstances, due to a change that has been brought about through no fault of our own or through nothing to do with ourselves. You know, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about a man who has a plan for his life. It's a bit like a business plan. He's been doing very well in his life. And he says, "I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull down the barns that I have because I don't have enough room to store everything in them. And I'm going to build other barns. And whenever I've got all that work done, then I'm going to do something else. I'm going to put my feet up and I'm going to say, take it easy, because you've got it made." Now, if you told someone that today, they would say, that's a very wise person. He plans to expand his business. There was a sense in which there was nothing wrong with his plan, but his plan had a fatal flaw, and it is the fatal flaw that so many plans have. He left God out of his plans. And you see, if you read Luke's Gospel chapter 12, you'll find there that there is such a remarkable difference between a man who makes his own plans and between how God actually carries out his glorious plan. Because in Luke 12 verse 6 it says, "There are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins. Not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Now maybe you're a Christian tonight and you're wondering about this week, or you're worried about next week, or you're worried about something else. Do you think the God that cares about the fall of a sparrow and that can number the hairs on your head this evening is not interested in your life. The God that we serve, the God that we love, if we belong to Jesus Christ, is a gracious God, and he has a plan for our lives. In the book of Isaiah, there are some verses in Isaiah chapter 49, and in verse 15, it says this: "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you." Over in Jeremiah chapter 1, and I read this morning, it says that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and he said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." There's no accident there. There is no chance there. There's a perfect plan. "I knew you before you were born. I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." And Jeremiah says, "Lord, I can't speak, for I'm only a youth." The Lord said, "Don't say I'm a youth, for I will go with you." If you're a Christian tonight, then the Lord is with you. And that's a glorious thing. And your plans are different because God is at the center of your plans. But these people had a plan. Their life was a planned thing. But in reality, their life was a precarious thing. It was an uncertain thing, but they didn't realize that. You see, in verse 14, James says to them, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life?" The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27 that we're not to boast about tomorrow, because we don't know what tomorrow will bring forth. Tomorrow's not a long way away. It's only a few hours until we're into tomorrow. But we can't even boast about tomorrow because we don't know what a day is going to bring forth. Now, some of you are sitting here tonight and you've planned ahead 10, maybe even 20 years. Maybe some of you have planned more than that. The Bible says, as far as man is concerned, his life is something that is just hanging in the balance. He doesn't have any control, if you like, over it. And I sometimes think as Christians, if we were to glimpse the reality of eternity, and if we were to glimpse the reality of hell, every one of us tonight, it would change all of our plans for life. It would change the way that we think. You see, people have a great interest in knowing the future. Some claim to know the future. And some even pay to find out about the future. But God said, the Word of God says that only God knows the future. There's a little song that speaks about God, and it says that often we wonder what tomorrow may bring. And often we question God's plans. But now that we've made Jesus Savior and King, tomorrow's in his hands. We don't know what tomorrow may bring, but if we belong to Jesus Christ, knowing him makes such a wonderful difference. To have him at the center of our plans. And James says to these people, "You do not know what will happen tomorrow." Now we thought, whenever we mentioned at the start that question, what is your life? What is your life? Only you can answer that tonight, because it is your life. It's a personal question. And it requires a personal answer. It's not the person next door. It's not the person down the street. It is your life. And here's how the Bible describes life. Just staying in one book of the Bible, in the book of Job. Job says in Job 7, verse 6, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. Oh, remember," he says, "that my life is a breath." When you go on over to Job chapter 8 and verse 9, it says, "We were born yesterday and know nothing, because our days on earth are a shadow." When we go to chapter 9, verse 25, Job says, "My days are swifter than a runner." That's a man who is appointed to deliver a message in the country. He says, "My days are swifter like that, swifter than that." When you go to Job chapter 13 and verse 25, it is described as a leaf. when you go into chapter 14 and you look at verses 10 and verse 11, it says, "Man dies and is led away. Indeed, he breathes his last, and where is he? As water disappears from the sea and a river becomes parched and dries up, man lies down and does not rise." We read in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verses 24 and 25, "All flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, its flower falls away. The word of the Lord endures forever." Now those are just some references from the word of God. But all of those things bring us back to James chapter 4. What is your life? It is only a vapor that appears for a little while and then fades away. I was reading a book about Robert Murray McShane, a famous Scottish preacher, and I've written something down that he said in his little book as he preached about the brevity of life. He said to the people that he preached, of course the Bible says in John 3 that you are condemned already. And then he said this, and I've written this down, "Your days are numbered. You're hanging by a thread over the mouth of hell, and yet you are cutting and slashing at the hand that holds you." People don't think of life like that. But God holds their next breath in the palm of his hand. The very next breath that they have is held in the palm of God's hand. And they are all of the time throughout their lives, they are trying to push God away. And there are many people today, and they are so superstitious, and they are so concerned about the way they do particular things. There are some of them who wouldn't walk underneath a ladder. There are some people and they wouldn't climb a ladder. They have this fear about falling off it. And yet those same people are prepared to go through life empty-handed without the Lord Jesus Christ, with nothing but their own works. Works that are hopeless as far as God is concerned. And they go through life in that way. A life that is short. James says it is like a vapor. A lady rang me 2 weeks ago and she was speaking about her father who had a particular illness. And she said, "His illness is a living death." And I thought about that. And I thought about it a lot this past couple of weeks. And I thought, you know, we are all just living, and day by day we're getting nearer to that time when we face death, all of us. Bible says there is but a step between me and death. Life in the Bible is always described as something that is quickly passing away. I often think about men when they go to a funeral and they seem so unconcerned about their souls. And I often think as they walk towards the grave and they see a man or a person being laid in the grave and they turn to walk home again, the thought often enters my mind that they are walking to their own grave, but they haven't really thought about it. But that's exactly what they're doing. And they haven't really thought how short life really is. The Bible never describes life as being easy. But it always describes life as being short. Job described it as the man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. It is just this vapor that we're thinking about in James chapter 4. It's something that you waken up in the morning and you look out through a window on a field and you see a mist over the field. And 2 hours later, the wind has blown it away. That's what life's like. Now, whenever people begin to build things, they build things on a solid foundation. They build things on something that is concrete. They build things on something that will last, on something that they hope will be permanent. And who would build their whole life on a vapor, on a mist, on a steam, on something that will simply pass away very quickly? Only a fool would do that. And that's why we need God in our lives. That's why we need God to be part of our lives. You know, sometimes I think about life as just like we're wound up and we're let go, and eventually we're going to run out. One of our children had a little battery dog, and she used to put batteries in it, and it barked about the house for a while, and eventually the batteries got lower and lower, and the dog went slower and slower. And eventually the batteries ran out and the dog was finished until we got new batteries. We don't think about life like that. But that is, in a sense, what life is like. God gives us the breath and the air that we breathe, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. And we don't think about it. Life for these people was a planned thing. Plans for today, plans to buy and sell, plans to stay a particular time, plans to make a particular amount of money. But life in reality is a precarious thing. It is very fine. It is very finely balanced. Let me say finally then this. Life can be a positive thing. Life can be a positive thing. See, in verse 15, James says to these people, instead, this is what you have been saying, but instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Whenever Stephen made the announcements tonight, he made the announcements subject to the will of the Lord. And that's a good way to make all of our plans, subject to the will of the Lord. Whenever you read through the New Testament, you'll find time and time again that there are people there and they made their plans subject to the will of God. In 1 Corinthians 4:19, the Apostle Paul says, I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 7, we find a similar thing where Paul talks about the will of God. He says, I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you, if the Lord permits. If the Lord wills, if the Lord permits. Acts 18, I will return again, he says, God willing. God was at the center of his life, and the will of God is constantly on his mind. Maybe tonight you say, well, I don't really know God's will. Well, God's will, I believe, is revealed in God's word. And God's word can be applied to every area of our life. It can be applied to our living. It can be applied to our giving. It can be applied to absolutely everything, because it is authoritative, it is true, it is perfect. I only see the past, but God sees the way ahead. Whenever you read through the Old Testament and you read through the prophets, you see that the things that God revealed to the prophets were all things that were fulfilled. And whenever you read about the things that are going to happen towards the end of time, we know that those things will be fulfilled, because God has planned them to be that way. Job said in Job chapter 23, verse 14, he performs what is appointed for me. Whatever is appointed for me, the Lord will perform that. And I can do nothing to change that. God has a plan for me. What was it was wrong with these particular people? It was this, that they were practically atheists. Or they knew God existed, and they'd heard about God, but they lived their lives as if God did not exist. Now maybe you're here tonight, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And maybe you've plans for later on, plans for tomorrow, plans for next year, plans for next month. You're living your life as if God does not exist. It's the equivalent of a man who says, I believe that driving in snow is dangerous. And he goes out when there are 6 inches of snow on the ground and he drives as fast as he possibly can. He disregards the fact that there's snow on the ground while he says he believes that it's a dangerous thing. And you may say tonight that you believe in God, but if you live your life without Jesus Christ, then you're disregarding God in every area of your life. to those who know to do good, James says, and they don't do it, it is sin. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John's Gospel, chapter 6, the words that I speak, they are life. And trusting in Jesus Christ is the way to eternal life. It is the way to heaven. And ignoring Christ is the way to hell. So what is your life tonight? You may give me a variety of answers. But here's the glorious thing about God and about Jesus. Jesus constantly changed people's lives. He constantly came and he healed people. He forgave people. He empowered people. He healed the broken lives that they had. Jesus said, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. What is your life tonight? Is it a planned thing? But it's been all planned by you. Then if that's the case, it's a precarious thing. It's finely balanced. You have no control over it. But tonight it can be a positive thing. If you come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him as Savior and Lord. I pray that you will.